سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له، ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله وصفيه وخليله وخيرته من خلقه، بلغ الرسالة وأدى الأمانة ونصح الأمة وترك الأمة على المحجة البيضاء ليلها كنهارها لا يزيد عنها إلا ضال أو هالك. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك وانعم واكرم وزد وتحنن على هذا النبي الكريم وعلى اله وصحابته البر الميامين وعلى كل من اهتدى بهديه وسن بسنته ودعا بدعوته وصار على منوال الى الدين. وبعد، السلام عليكم ورحمه الله وبركاته. Seventeenth day of Ramadan today, 16th day of September 2008. Still Suratu An-Nisa. We are moving from Ayah 4 of the same Surah. Iqra, Sheikh.
A'udhu Billahi Minash Shaitan Ar-Rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. وآتوا النساء صدقاتهن نحلة فإن طبن لكم عن شيء منه نفسا فكلوه هنيئا مريئا. ولا تؤتوا السفهاء أموالكم التي جعل الله لكم قياما وارزقوهم فيها وارزقوهم فيها
واسقوهم وقولوا
لهم قولا معروفا.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. قال الله تبارك وتعالى: وآتوا النساء صدقاتهن نحلة فإن طبن لكم عن شيء منه نفسا فكلوه هنيئا مريئا. And give the women on marriage their dawah or nuptial gift, and it is the reward you prefer. Sadaq is what you take and give the woman you want to marry. Giving her sadaq is one out of the four conditions needed before a marriage becomes a marriage. Sadaq is there, witnesses at least two, then what? And wali. Wali is only valid on the part of the woman. Because on the part of the husband, you don't call him wali. You call him what? Waki or wasi. He has to be there to accept the wife himself, or he deputizes someone to go and do the function in his own absence and in his own place. And then the sira are the words he used in constructing the marriage. These are the four conditions in a typical Islamic marriage. There should be sadaq. Sadaq can be given, we said, out of even some land, out of a property. You can give sadaq out of handset. You can give sadaq out of what? Can somebody say to a woman, okay, I want to marry you, but your sadaq is that I am going to teach you Baqarah? Your sadaq, your nuptial gift is going to be just Baqarah. I have it offered and I'm going to teach you. That stands for your own sadaq. Is it valid? Acceptable? But is it practicable today? You say it is legal, but not practicable. Why not practicable? Have you tried and it failed? You didn't give it a trial. A trial will convince you. Yeah, I was giving a talk to some women at Umar ibn al-Khattab the day of yesterday. Shook her empty woman lost. And I threw the same question to the sister. They said, yes, Malak, it is practicable. I said, are you telling me that I should go and break the good news? They said, yes, we are ready. Now you are telling me it is practicable. The good test. Did you do it without being practicable? To tell you, there are some sisters ready. If there is any brother ready, marry her, and the sadaq is only going to be your ability to make her memorize Baqarah or to teach her at the kursi, and she will just be comfortable with that. Okay? So, and I have every reason to believe the sisters that they mean it. Okay? So let's start practicalizing this kind of thing. Umm Sulaym, may Allah be pleased with Umm Sulaym, came, Abu Talha proposed marriage to her. Abu Talha was then a mushrik, a non-believer. Ummu Sulaymin was the mother of Anas ibn Malik. Anas. He served the Prophet for how many years? 10 years. 10 years. And you know, the Prophet prayed for him. So Allah gave him long life. After the Prophet, 83 years. 83. He had 100 children when he left Medina and finally settled in Basra. Anas bin Malik, his mother, a Muslim, used to be the emissary of the women to the Prophet. So Abu Talha came proposing marriage to her. She said to him, "You are a mushrik. You are a mushrik, and I can't marry a non-believer. If only you would agree to be a Muslim, my nuptial gift, my sadaqah, should be your proclamation of the kalima. Just say it, and that stands for my sadaqah." And that came to pass without any condemnation from the Prophet. To tell you, it is practicable. If somebody should say, "Okay, my sadaqah for her is this or that," even a ring, because it's not supposed to be something for making profit. Marriage is not a kind of a profit-making venture. It's supposed to be something where you meet together as man and wife, having compassion to one another, helping her, and she too helping you, raising respectable family, trying to live according to the teachings of the Creator. So by the time investment in material times is made, it will look as if she is no longer valuable because you have spent a lot. She will be looking at you in that manner. So that is why it has been reported, the best of women is the one that no difficulty is encountered in marrying her. But today, materialism unfortunately seems to be rearing its ugly head when it comes to the affairs of matrimonial activities. That should be looked at once again for the purpose of correction. Now, Quran says, وَآتُوا النِّسَاءَ صَدُقَاتِهِمْ, give them their sadaq. Let me ask you, somebody marries a sister, but the sadaq is not given instantly. He says the sadaq is going to be given some 2 months later or a year later. What is the technical name given to this kind of sadaq, this kind of marriage? The fuqaha have a name for this kind of marriage. Any marriage being contracted without the sadaq or the NG being given or is delayed to be paid later has a name technically given to it by the jurisconsults, fuqaha. And I'm asking, what is the name of that kind of marriage? Naam? Al-ajal? No. Naam? Laqadan? Barakallahu feek. You see, the sadaq being delayed, it is ajal, mu'ajal. But the marriage itself, what is its name? All conditions have been fulfilled. Only the sadaq being delayed. And she becomes legitimate for him. Definitely. He can meet her, she can meet him conjugally. That is legal. But the product is yet to be taken by her. The marriage is legal, legitimate, illicit. Okay. Then what is the name given to that marriage? You can't surprise me. Because I threw the same question in Umar ibn al-Khattab the day before yesterday. And I was even saying, any of you among the sisters that answers me, I am going to give her a book. To my surprise, about 4 sisters or 5 did answer the question in written form. Please, don't allow me to feel that you are not up to the challenge. You are. So please, you prove me right. What is the name of that kind of marriage? لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. حسبنا الله ونعم الوكيل. okay, I'll give you time to think about it later, I will come back to it. But now Allah says, وَآتُ النِّسَاءَ صَدُقَاتِهِنَّ نِحْلَةً, give them their sadaqah, نِحْلَةً, as a gift from Allah. Then it says, فَإِن تُبْنَ لَكُمْ عَنْ شَيْءٍ مِنْهُ نَفْسًا فَكُلُوهُ هَنِيئًا وَمَرِيئًا. But if they do, if they of their own good pleasure remit any part of it to you, that is, you've given her sadaqah to the tune of 30,000 naira, she says, please take 10,000, see, I have given you. The ayah says, if they have done this out of their own good pleasure, not because she is coerced or forced, this tells you it is haram for even the parents to say, we are taking the sadaqah out of you. Though they are her parents, you can tell me, but the wealth of a person and he himself are wholly possessed by the parent, that's true. But because of the technicality of this issue, it is better if the sadaqah is given, let it be taken and be given to the woman that is deserving, because she is the one being taken to the house of somebody as a wife. Let it be given to her for her own personal expenses, okay? But if the wife says, please, my husband, take 10,000 out of my sadaqah, Allah says, فَقُلُوا هَنِيئًا مَرِيئًا, eat it, devour it, okay, with right and good cheer, you have no problem. Alright? So that is the message being given by this ayah. Next ayah.
وَلَا تُؤْتُوا السُّفَهَاءَ أَمْوَالَكُمْ الَّتِي جَعَلَ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ قِيَامًا وَارْزُقُوهُمْ فِيهَا وَاكْسُوهُمْ وَقُولُوا لَهُمْ قَوْلًا مَّعْرُوفًا.
Now, this ayah, that is ayah number 5, tells us how to deal with some people that are of a weakness. Their own understanding faculty is very weak. Those that are mentally not okay, mentally not sound, mentally deprived, don't take your wealth and entrust in their care. Because money or wealth is the source of life. Quran calls it qiyaman or qiyaman. So it says, وَلَا تُؤْتُوا السُّفَهَاءَ أَمْوَالَكُمُ الَّتِي جَعَلَكُمْ قِيَامًا وَارْزُقُوهُمْ فِيهَا وَاكْسُوهُمْ وَقُولُوا لَهُمْ قَوْلًا مَعْرُوفًا. Those that are impaired, okay, they are intellectually retarded, mentally impaired, not competent, don't take their wealth and entrust in their care or give them, because the money is the means of support. What do you do? وَرْزُقُوهُمْ فِيهَا, feed them and clothe them therewith. وَقُولُوا لَهُمْ قَوْلًا مَعْرُوفًا, speak to them words of kindness and justice. Now, the message of the ayah should be clear. If, for example, you have an orphan under your custody, you know orphan? An orphan is placed under your care, being the guardian. He has his amount of wealth under your care. It's time for you to take the money back to him. He is of age, 18, 20, 25, 30 and the like. But unfortunately, all signs point clearly to his inability of maintaining the wealth on account of his intellectual depravity. You get me? Don't give the wealth to him. Are you denying me? You're not denying me. It is because of this simple reason. Perchance, if you give him the money back, there are chances of the money being squandered and he goes back to square one, begging people, and you'll be held responsible for not being a good guardian. So in order to preserve this kind of nasty occurrence, Quran says, don't give them the wealth until you are sure that they are okay. That clear? But out of it, feed them. Give them nice words. Please take it easy. Time shall come when the world will be given to you. It's your money. I am not saying it's now. It's yours. Wholly owned by you. your father died, left it behind. It's for you. Not because of this or that. I mean, good words. But you know what? Today, if there are some people who don't know Islam, claiming to be human rights, what activists, they say somebody is withholding the rights of this orphan. So they take you to the court, employing legal litigation against you. What do you do? In that case, what do you do? Quran says don't give the money if you are the person to take care of it. But somebody says it's going to take you to the court because you seem to be holding back what belongs to him. Can you also go and employ the services of a legal luminary, a lawyer, to defend the case? What do you do? Someone will tell you, well, it's better that I send out the money, back off. Don't do that. Don't do that. Even if it means going to the court, go to the court to defend the right of this innocent person until we are convinced that he is okay. He is not deserving. He is qualified for having the money been given for him. I hope the message of the ayah is clear. Now, ayah 6 says what?
وَابْتَلُوا الْيَتَامَى حَتَّى إِذَا بَلَغُوا النِّكَاحَ فَإِنْ آنَسْتُمْ مِنْهُمْ رُشْدًا فَادْفَعُوا إِلَيْهِمْ أَمْوَالَهُمْ وَلَا تَأْكُلُوهَا إِسْرَافًا وَبِدَارًا أَنْ يَكْبَرُوا وَمَنْ كَانَ غَنِيًّا فَلْيَسْتَعْفِفْ ومن كان فقيرا فليأكل بالمعروف فإذا دفعتم إليهم أموالهم فأشهدوا عليهم وكفى بالله حسيبا.
This is ayah number 6 in Surah 4. وابتلوا اليتامى حتى إذا بلغوا النكاح فإن آنستم منهم رشدا فادفعوا إليهم أموالكم. To the end of the ayah. That is, make trial of orphans until they reach the age of marriage. The orphans under your care, try them. On reaching the age of marriage, okay, if you find sound judgment in them, release their property to them. You see, this orphan is under your care, he reaches the age of poverty or marriage, and you understand him to be of sound judgment. He's now okay, he can take care of his own property, release the property to him. Okay? That is, فَدْفَعُوا إِلَيْهِمْ أَمْوَالَهُمْ. In Arabic, أَمْوَال is the plural form of what? مَال. مَال does not mean money, necessarily a lot. Paper money. All properties can be called مَال. Okay? Your houses, your estates, your farmlands, okay, things like this are regarded as part of the parcel of what? Your mal. Now, when the orphans reach the age of poverty and they are of sound judgment, release their properties to them. Then the Quran warns, وَلَا تَأْكُلُوهَا إِسْرَافًا وَبِدَارًا أَنْ يَكْبَرُوا. Don't consume their property, okay, wastefully or in a haste against their growing up. You spend their wealth out of squandermania, out of extravaganza, out of embezzlement. Let me just consume it before he grows up. When he grows up, he will be of age and I'm going to face trouble. So before he, let me just take precautionary. Allah said, don't do that. وَمَنْ كَانَ غَنِيًّا فَلْيَسْتَعْفِفْ. Alright. If the guardian is well off, let him not claim any remuneration. If the guardian is walking on the property of the orphan, walking here means going and running commercial activities, maximizing the profits, okay, trying to go to market, selling and buying, create profits. If he is well off, he is financially okay, let him not lay any claim to any remuneration. meaning you shouldn't be thinking of being given a salary. That is the meaning. وَمَنْ كَانَ غَنِيًا فَلْيَسْتَعْفِفْ. But وَمَنْ كَانَ فَقِيرًا فَلْيَأْكُلْ بِالْمَعْرُفِ. But if he is poor, let him have for himself what is just and reasonable. He is poor and walking on the property. Like I told you yesterday, Ibn al-Jawzi says what? Can you remember? Ibn al-Jawzi says, there is no legality, no justification for taking the property of an orphan, except by three reasons. You are an employee trading on his properties, for example. Since you are an employee, then you have the qualification of being what? Paid. You can't do it gratis, free for charge, unless if you decide to do that. That's number one. Number two, you borrow. That borrowing has to be guided, has to be punctuated by a lot of conditions. Those amongst the members of the family should be there. Let it be clearly written. You know, when you take a loan, Quran says, put it in writing. Is there Quran ayah 202? The longest verse in the Quran. الَّذِينَ عَمَنُوا إِذَا تَبَيَّنْتُمْ بِدَيْنٍ إِلَىٰ أَجَلٍ مُسَمًّى. What? Factable. This should be written. Thirdly, as a gesture, on account of any calamity that befalls the guardian. But this is not advisable. But here, tells us, if the guardian is well off, let him make not any claim to any salary, any remuneration, any annulment, or whatever you call it. But if he's poor, let him just eat what is reasonable and enough. فَإِذَا دَفَعْتُمْ إِلَيْهِمْ أَمْوَالَهُمْ. Now, when you are taking their properties back to them, فَأَشْهِدُوا عَلَيْهِمْ. Call people as witnesses. Yes, call witnesses. And this is even their own safety. Otherwise, somebody will be claiming, we don't even know whether he has returned the properties of this boy to him. You see them flamboyantly, maybe it's out of now. Tell people, please, Sheikh so-and-so, come. I'd like to come. This young man, his wealth has been under my trust and care. But now, on the account of my understanding that he is now of sound judgment and employing the Quranic methodology, I am returning his own wealth back to him. Dear witnesses, you will be safe. Otherwise, people will say, we don't even know whether he has taken his property back to him. So Quran says, فَإِذَا دَفَعْتُمْ إِلَىٰ أَمْوَالَهُمْ فَأَشْهِدُوا عَلَيْهِمْ وَكَفَىٰ بِاللَّهِ حَسِيبًا. But Allah is self-sufficient in taking account. Next ayah.
للرجال نصيب مما ترك الوالدان والأقربون وللنساء نصيب مما ترك الوالدان والأقربون مما قل منه أو كفر نصيبا مفروضا.
للرجال نصيب مما ترك الوالدان والأقربون وللنساء نصيب مما ترك الوالدان والأقربون مما قل منه أو كفر نصيبا مفروضا. From what is left by parents and those nearest related, there is a share for men and a share for women, whether the property be small or large, for the permanent share. Next ayah.
وَإِذَا خَطَبَ الْقِسْمَةَ أُولُو الْقُرْبَى وَالْيَتَامَى وَالْمَسَاكِينُ فَارْزُقُوهُم مِّنْهُ وقولوا لهم قولا معروفا.
وإذا حضر القسمة أولي القربى واليتامى والمساكين فارزقوهم منه وقولوا لهم قولا معروفا. This is ayah 8, chapter 4. But if at the time of division other relatives or orphans or poor are present, feed them out of the property and speak to them words of kindness and justice. You see, these two verses are talking out of when properties have been shared during inheritance sharing. Some that are not entitled to have anything and they come give them nice words, or give them just a token amount to placate, to make them go comfortable. Because Islam preaches the gesture of giving, give, 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 in order to remove any rancorous feelings in the heart of the deprived. That is why zakat, the concept of zakat is what? To eradicate poverty. Wallahi al-Azim, if zakat is being given properly, the way it should be given, it would have gone a long way in eradicating, obliterating, stamping out poverty amongst the ummah today. But is it given the way that Allah should be given? At times, there are some limbs and caprices characterizing the way the zakat are being given. Someone more deserving or even most deserving is denied and is given to somebody. There is a nasty experience or some things happening today. Those that are given zakat, we look at his own friend who is equally wealthy and he takes the same thing given to him. He is not faqih, no miskin, no nothing. This kind of zakat cannot be accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because there are conditions. So if zakat is given the way it should be given, we want to believe that will have gone a long way in eradicating poverty and depravity amongst the ummah. May Allah help us in doing it the way it should be done. Next ayah.
وَلْيَخْشَ الَّذِينَ لَوْ تَرَكُوا مِنْ خَلْفِهِمْ ذُرِّيَّةً ضِعَافًا خَافُوا عَلَيْهِمْ فَلْيَتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَلْيَقُولُوا قَوْلًا سَدِيدًا.
وَلْيَخْشَ الَّذِينَ لَوْ تَرَكُوا مِنْ خَلْفِهِمْ ذُرِّيَّةً ضِعَافًا خَافُوا عَلَيْهِمْ فَلْيَتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَلْيَقُولُوا قَوْلًا سَدِيدًا. This is ayah number 9. Let those disposing of an estate have the same fear in their minds as they would have for their own if they had left helpless family behind. Let them fear Allah and speak words of appropriate comfort. Meaning, when you are disposing of properties, you should remember, by the time you are disposing of the property concerning an orphan, you should have the thought of, what if you two have left behind children that are feeble, that are weak, what will befall them? So the whole issue is on how to maintain, how to handle orphans. Be generous, be humane, be magnanimous. And you should visualize it, picturize it. Let's assume that you are on that front, your children are left, and this is a weak position. What will be their own case? So by the time you have this very thought, it is assumed that you will be more careful, more conscious in dealing with our creatures that have this kind of disadvantage. Next ayah.
إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَأْكُلُونَ أَمْوَالَ الْيَتَامَى ظُلْمًا إِنَّمَا يَأْكُلُونَ فِي بُطُونِهِمْ نَارًا وَسَيَصْلَوْنَ سَعِيرًا.
إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَأْكُلُونَ أَمْوَالَ الْيَتَامَى ظُلْمًا إِنَّمَا يَأْكُلُونَ فِي بُطُونِهِمْ نَارًا وَسَيَصْلَوْنَ سَعِيرًا. This is ayah number 11, surah 4. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَأْكُلُونَ أَمْوَالَ الْيَتَامَى. إِنَّ is the letter of emphasis. حرف النفس والتوكيد. Again, he will be saying this. الَّذِينَ الْإِثْمُ الْمَوْصُوب. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ إِثْمُ الْمَوْصُوب. Okay, مبني. لأنه مبني. What is al-mabni in Arabic language? Static. What is static? What is mabni? According to the scholars of Arabic language, they say al-mabni kullu lafdhin yalzamu akhiruhu halatan wahida bighaddi an-nadr an al-awamil wal-mu'rab flexible kullu lafdhin yataghayyaru akhiruhu bihasab al-awamil. That is mu'rab. So al-mabni like al-ladhi. For example, jaa al-ladhi uhibbu, ra'aytu al-ladhi uhibbu, sallamtu ala al-ladhi uhibbu. Has al-ladhi changed? Does it change? It doesn't. In the first instance it should be فاعل مرفوع بالضمة. You don't say جاء الذي يو دو ورأيت الذي يا ومررت بالذي يي because الذي is مبني in Arabic language. Unlike محمد تقول جاء محمد رأيت محمدا سلمت على محمد دن 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 that is معرب. Now الذين is مبني. We carry out sentence analysis based on the position. We call this situational or circumstantial or positional sentence analysis. الإعراب المحلي. إن الذين يأكلون يأكلون فعل مضارع. Those devouring, those consuming, those eating. أموال اليتامى ظلما. Those who eat up the properties of the orphans unjustly, they should listen. إنما يأكلون في بطونهم وق نارا لا إله إلا الله. Okay, those who unjustly eat up, who consume the properties of the orphans, eat up a fire into their own bodies. Anyone on account of his ability uses his power to take the properties of an orphan, converting sin to his own personal possession because of an orphan. He says, what is it? After all, it's a legal tussle. I can employ, I can go to my lawyer, even if it means going to the court. Okay. You feel you are strong, you are powerful. But why can't you remember the power of Allah above you? Why don't you remember that Allah is more powerful than your own power? So the ayah says, those eating, those devouring, those eating up the properties of the orphans unjustly, wrongly, are just eating fire into their stomachs. وَسَيَسْلَوْنَ سَعِيرًا They will soon be in, they will soon be enduring a blazing fire. They shall be burnt in a blazing fire. So don't ever agree to take anything belonging to an orphan, most especially, because he is very weak. I told you yesterday, it is unfortunate, we don't even have enough orphanages today. Today, we don't have orphanages, and it is unfortunate. Muslims should open homes like this, for taking care of, for adopting, taking care of orphans, and Allah will reward you abundantly for that. May Allah help us. Now.
يوصيكم الله في أولادكم للذكر مثل حظ الأنثيين فإن كن نساء فوق اثنتين فلهن ثلثا ما ترك وإن كانت واحدة فلها النصف ولأبويه لكل واحد منهما السدس مما ترك إن كان له ولد فإن لم يكن له ولد وورثه أبواه فلأمه الثلث فإن كان له إخوة فلأمه السدس من بعد وصية يوصي بها أو دين آباؤكم وأبناؤكم لا تدرون أيهم أقرب لكم نفعا فريضة من الله إن الله كان عليما حكيما.
This ayah number 11 is talking about an important segment of Islamic studies. That is al-mirath, inheritance. Inheritance in Islam is regarded as half of knowledge, according to ulama. Yes, because the issues having to do with finance are treated in two ways. One part while alive, the other part while you are gone. So inheritance deals with financial matters after somebody has gone, beyond. It's no longer. That's why it's very, very important part of knowledge. There are conditions for inheritance. How many conditions? Yara, stream of fiqh. First I asked about طلاب اللغة العربية. أما الآن أسأل عن طلاب الفقه الإسلامي. We cannot afford nothing all this. They are basic. The ulama have mentioned how many conditions for inheritance to take place. Now? Three. Nahia, can you hear them? اتق ولا. Okay, جزاك الله خير. جزاك الله خير. الإمام الرحبي mentioned this in his own beautiful poems. He says what? أسباب ميراث الوراثة لا كل يثيب ربه الوراثة وحي نكاح وولاء ونسب ما بعدهن للمواريث سبب. There's only two things. أسباب ميراث الوراثة ثلاثة كل يثيب ربه الوراثة وهي نكاح وولاء ونسب ما بعدهن للمواريث سبب. But they have also said, what are the things preventing, denying somebody from inheritance? It's obvious. There are some things, there are some impediments, some stumbling blocks that can shield somebody from becoming entitled to inheritance. Still, Al-Rahabi says what? وَيَمْنَعُ الشَّخْصَ مِنَ الْمِيرَاثِ وَاحِدَةٌ مِنْ عِلَلٍ ثَلَاثِ وَيَمْنَعُ الشَّخْصَ مِنَ الْمِيرَاثِ وَاحِدَةٌ مِنْ عِلَلٍ ثَلَاثِ قَتْلٌ وَرِقٌ وَاخْتِلَافُ دِينِ قَتْلٌ وَرِقٌ وَاخْتِلَافُ دِينِ فَفَهَمْ فَلَيْسَ الشَّكُّ كَالْيَقِينِ. إمام الرحبي, ماذا؟ Being in bondage under someone's possession, and then difference in religious belief. The father a Muslim, the children non-Muslims, no inheritance there. No inheritance there. And again, they have mentioned the number of men to inherit. Imam al-Rahabi still. وَالْوَارِثُ مِنَ الرِّجَالِ أَشَارَ أَسْمَاؤُهُمْ مَعْرُوفَةٌ مُشْتَهِرَةٌ. Those who inherit amongst men are 10. He mentioned 10. We shall all be able to know this. And there are basis for inheritance. Number one, the death of the one to be inherited has to be certified. Can you inherit the living? Can you? So it is prerequisite, it is conditional, it is foundational, okay, to the eligibility of property to be inherited. The one to be inherited has to be satisfied what? Death. That is necessary. And number two, the one to inherit it has to be confirmed living. Yes, now, the one to inherit is dead. The one to be inherited is dead. It can't take place then. So the one to be inherited must be dead. And the one to inherit must be what? Living. Okay. The property to be inherited must be legitimately, lawfully, legally owned by the one to be inherited. What does that mean? What does that mean? He is heavily indebted to the tune of 5 million naira, but the totality of his profit is only 4 million naira. His inheritance should take heart. Why? Because we need the money in servicing the debt, to use the modern terminology, servicing the debt. Okay, take heart. Subhanallah, your father was heavily indebted. No kobo, no even pichika left for you. Take heart. Allah will provide for you. Yes. Because the issue of inheritance, the issue of debt is very important. The Prophet ﷺ used not to pray on somebody who died indebted. somebody died one day in Medina. The Sahaba came to him and said, Ya Rasulullah, so and so is dead. Will you come and pray on the dead body? What did he say? He said, Alayhi Dayn? Alayhi Daynun? Is he indebted? Any debt against him, on him? He said, Yes. Alayhi Dinaran? One of the Sahaba said, Yeah. He was owing. Was he being owed? There are 2 dinar he didn't pay when he died. He said, Okay, go and pray on him. I cannot pray on somebody having people's debt on him. Serious. To tell you, if you take people's debt without paying and you die, it's going to be troublesome for you in the grave. That's why we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enrich us without dying, leaving any dust behind. So the Sahaba said, Salli alayhi fa'ana al-mas'ulu an wata'i d-dayni ya Rasulullah. Pray on him. I shall be held responsible for paying the debt. Sure? Yes. Okay. Why were they insisting on the fact that Prophet should pay the body? Nice. Because for somebody to have the luxury of his dead body being prayed on by the Prophet, it's an automatic intercession for him. إِنَّ صَلَاةَ الرَّسُولِ عَلَى الْمَيْتِ شَفَاءَةٌ أُوتُومَاتِكِيَّةٌ فِي الْآخِرَةِ Automatic intercession. Shafa'ah, automaticiyah. So for that reason, they were insisting. And the Prophet prayed on the dead body, on the condition that he would pray. 2 days, he said, Ya Sa'ad, هَلْ أَدَّيْتَ الدَّيْنَ عَنْهُ Did you pay? I paid for Allah's Messenger. He said, Oh, بَرَّدَ اللَّهُ جِلْدَكَ كَمَا تَسَبَّبْتَ فِي تَبْرِيدِ جِلْدَهُ فِي الْقَبْرِ أو كَمَا قَلْدِ May Allah cause your own skin to be relaxed when you enter your grave, just as you have caused him to be relaxed. So for this, if somebody dies with debt on him, outstanding, without being cleared, the property should be taken. Let all those who can have the claim, let them come with supporting documents to prove that, yeah, this happened. So it should be given to them. Even if it means the whole of the properties are consumed in servicing the debt. So this thing must be taken in consideration. Somebody to be inherited must be debt. The one to inherit it must be living. The property must be what? Wholly owned. Must be ascertained that in possession. Then you share it. Now, this ayah is regarded as the origin of ilm al-miraq. Ilm al-miraq is very important. يقول الإمام الرهبي لا سيما وقد نهاه الشافعي. Most especially Al-Imam al-Shafi'i paid utmost attention to this knowledge of ilm al-miraq, because it is believed it's going to be one of the branches of knowledge to be soon lost at the end of the time. Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, now, and again, the ulama have said, there are some people that cannot inherit. And the formula is what? Aynun, Shinun, Lamun, Kafun, Ra'un, Zayun, Qafun. Qad name, Ish, Laka, Rizq. Aynun, Adamul Istihlal. Shin, Ashak, Fil Mawt. Man al-Nabi Sabaq Mawtin? الوارث كل الموروث عيش لام اللعان لأن التلاعن يثبت إسقاط الأحقية للتوارث كيف كفر عيش لك الرقة زين زنا لام كاف راء زين قا Even though some of the points are being contended like زين, that if a child is born out of wedlock, he can't inherit zina. Some are saying no. His mother, if his biological mother, who out of wedlock, he can inherit. But the majority of people say no. If any boy, any child is born out of wedlock, no inheritance. Because according to Sharia, he's not legitimate son. Because being legitimate son can only be achieved and is only achievable if it is within the wedlock. Somebody born out of wedlock cannot claim legitimacy. That is why it's very harmful. You see, prostitution is very harmful. You see, I was reading the story of a woman. She used to be a prostitute, a harlot, a body seller. She had a child. Out of the nasty profession, the child grew up. She took him to school. But he witnessed something. Whenever there was PTA, it was his mother that will take her belay or cover or whatever and attend the meeting. So one day the boy came to the mother saying, "Please, Mama, where is my father? I don't want you to be worrying yourself, suffering, going to attend the meeting of PTA. Other children, their fathers used to come to the meeting. I don't want you to be suffering. Please ask my father to go and attend in your place." You see now? And she went to the room thinking about what was she to tell him. She said, "Okay, my father is this. This collision with letters, another trouble for her." So finally, what broke the back of the camel was the stark reality. She embraced him, shedding hot tears, saying that, "I have wronged you. I have dehumanized you. I have brought shame upon myself and you. Forgive me." This is how it came about. La ilaha illallah. Finally, she was compelled to attest to the bitter and stark reality. If only this is the result of prostitution, if only this, it is enough, a stinking way of life for those indigenous to live it and forsake it and repay to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah help us to have true and sincere repentance. Now, to the translation. Allah says, "Yusikum Allahu fi awladikum." Allah directs you as regards your children in inheritance. This is the first thing. "Yusikum Allahu fi awladikum." Allah teaches you how to go about sharing the inheritance concerning your children. لِلذَّكَرِ مِثْلِ حَظِّ الْأُنْثَيَيْنِ. For the male child is twice as much as the share of the female child. That is step number one. لِلذَّكَرِ مِثْلِ حَظِّ الْأُنْثَيَيْنِ. For the female child, I mean male child, twice as much as what? The share of the female child. Now, someone will be saying, why? Why is Islam discriminatory? A'udhu billah. The ignorance. The enemies of the deen, who don't know Allah, who claim to be enlightened, who claim to be progressive. No, they are retrogressive. They are saying, why this? He gives them the answer. Even though not every dog that barks you listen to. Yeah. Not for every dog barking you listen to. You are saying it's a precious for even answering them. But for those gullible ones, because of the gullibility of the gullible ones, at times you take the place in explaining. Let's localize it. Let me ask you. Hasana and Hussein, are they twins? By the name, are they twins? Right. Their father died, leaving behind 120 million naira. Let me ask you, how are you going to share this amount of money between Hasana and Hussein? What is the share of Hasana in the light of this Quranic question? Listen carefully. لِذَّكَرِ مِثْلُ حَظِّ الْأُنْثَيَيْنِ. For the male child shall be twice as much as the share of the female child. Now, the father left behind, I told you what? 120 million naira. What do you give Hasana? $40 million. Okay, what about Hussein? Where do you get this calculation? Ma'am? Two over? Aha. But here you have only two people. But the Quran gives you three people here?
Yes.
It says Mid-Zakari, one. Middle husband, Ul-Fayyain, three. So by the time you divide 120 million by three, each one is what? 40. Now, Mr. Hazim Unfayain, the male should give him twice as much. So he just gave him 80 million. Now, Hussein, which is 80 million naira, Hassana is only 40 million naira. Look at Hassana is taking care of her by her father. Is taking care of by her father. When she is married, the husband takes over. When she has children, the children take over. Not a single kobo, expectedly, is going to be touched. But our friend, Brother Hussaini, when he gets married, you know what happens? That 80 million naira is going to be what? It's going to be touched now. It's going to be taken. He is the one shelling all responsibilities. School bills, motor bills, water bills, all these bills are going to be siphoned out of that 80 million naira. Is it commonsensical for him to be given lion's share? Allah that has created, doesn't he know his creator? But these Lilliputians, claiming to be knowledgeable, will be barking like the dogs. Allah says, Allah ya'alamu man khalaqa wa huwa al-latif al-khabir. The one having his creation, doesn't he know what he's created? Subhanallah al-Azim. You see, you say he's been an adjective before anything. Whereas the share of our sister Hassana is there, isn't it? Because in Islam, the woman is not even expected to spend a single qabr in the upkeep of the house. It is the responsibility, diametrically, of the man. Unless out of her goodness, she decides to give something. And something very good. So because of this, Islam says, لِذَّكَرِ مِثْلُ حَظٍ أُنْثَيَيْنِ. Okay? So the male child should be twice as much as the share of what? The female child. Now, Allah says, فَإِن كُلَّ نِسَاءً فَوْقَ اثْنَتَيْنِ فَلَهُنَّ ثُلُثَ مَا تَرَكَ وَإِن كَانَتْ وَاحِدَةً فَلَهَا النِّصْفُ. فَإِن كُلَّ نِسَاءً فَوْقَ اثْنَتَيْنِ. If only daughters, that is, فَإِن كُنَّ نِسَاءً, if only daughters, two or more, somebody dies leaving behind daughters only, no males, that's the ayah. فَإِن كُنَّ نِسَاءً فَوْقَ اثْنَتَيْنِ, two or more, their share is 2/3 of the inheritance. That's clear? 2/3 of the inheritance. Rule number one, twice as much as the share of the female child in case of the Bakari Mithl Hadhihi Al-Unthayayn. Now, فَإِن كُنَّ نِسَاءً فَوْقَ اثْنَتَيْنِ فَلَهُنَّ ثُلُثَا مَا تَرَكَ. If they are daughters, two or above, they should be given what? 2/3 of inheritance. Okay? وَإِن كَانَتْ وَاحِدَةً فَلَهَا النِّصْفُ. But if she's only one, somebody dies leaving behind only one daughter, her share is the half of the property. Allah help me. Okay? That's the meaning. وَإِن كَانَتْ وَاحِدَةً فَلَهَا النِّصْفُ. Is that clear? Somebody dies leaving behind children, male, female. You have the protection of the Lord. Daughters, two or above, 2/3 of the properties. Let me ask you, somebody dies leaving behind 60 million naira. Only daughters. What is their share? What is 2/3 of 60 million naira? 40 million, okay, that should be given to them, to be shared equally. 20 million to be given to whom? The father is not wrong. The father, we shall hear, you are going to hear what is said the father. Okay. Now, وإن كان واحدة صلح الناس بين الله تعالى ولأبويه now to his own parents ولأبويه لكل واحد منه مصدرس مما ترك إن كان له ولد if he has parents أبويه he has parents meaning father and what? mother but leaving behind children so لكل واحد منه مصدرس each of the parents will be given one sixth if somebody dies having children they are sure the couple the children living behind should be one over six this is called hujub what? Hujub al-Nakl there is hujub al-Ifqaf and there is hujub al-Nakl is that time? Good time? Okay we have taken a long surah maybe because of its lengthy nature it's a September discussion to take it again tomorrow by the grace of Allah because of time factor is it okay? سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على محمد وآله وصحبه أجمعين السلام عليكم
ورحمة الله وبركاته جزاكم الله خيرا I just want to remind Manas next by tomorrow we will continue this in 10 minutes or 10 minutes 1 hour tafsir so that 10 minutes will be used for the proverbial
Inshallah Inshallah We used to have what we call the proverbial camel's what? Tell. And it's very important, talking about the life histories of some of the Sahaba of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Tomorrow, inshallah, you said it?
Yes, inshallah.
Inshallah.
Yesterday, you promised you're going to distinguish or give a distinguishing factors between man and woman.
This is clear to me. Did I say that?
Somebody said, Assalamu alaikum, yesterday you promised us that today you will explain between man and woman.
Well, maybe I think I have spoken of explaining the virtues of early marriage. I said that one. Did I talk about it? Did I? Now somebody is saying, I said I will explain the meaning of this. That's true. You see, the justice that Allah says, you cannot do it. وَلَنْ تَسْتَطِعُوا أَنْ تَعْدِلُوا بَيْنَ النِّسَاءِ وَلَوْ حَرَصْتُمْ فَلَا تَمِيلُوا كُلَّ الْمَيْلِ فَتَضْرِبُوهَا كَالْمُعَلَّقَةِ You won't be able to do justice between women. You can't do justice. So what is the meaning of justice here? And especially in the light of the previous ayah we read, that وَإِنْ خِفْتُمْ أَلَّا تَعْدِلُوا فَوَاحِدَةً أَوْ أَنْ كَإِمَانُكُمْ What does justice mean here? Justice means the one that you cannot do is the ability to equalize their love together in your heart. That is practically impossible. That is what Allah ends up by saying, you cannot do justice amongst women. Justice means to equalize their love, to feel that you love your wife equally. It's not possible. You have wife A and B. One must have higher level of love in your heart. It's something natural because of one reason or the other. This one is not religious. This one has Quran, for example. More obedient. She bears in your reason. That is the one that Allah says you cannot do. And Allah will not take you to task on that one. But the one that Islam says you must do justice, even though you love this one in your heart better than the other, don't allow that love to be manifested in the way you deal with them. Giving this one more properties than the other one. The property that she has the claim to eat. Because justice, according to ulama, is in four things. Quadruple meal. Maskan, mat'am, malbas, madi. In four things. You have to be just in maskan. Maskan means accommodation. Don't say, well, I love this one more, so her accommodation should be by far better. In a strategic location, with well supplied, well supply of water, uninterrupted power. power supply end of it. And the other ones will be taken to a ghetto, slums, drug infested ghetto, because of the family background. You are doing injustice. That is one that is done to that. Maskan, you have to be just. Bungalow, bungalow. Whatever, whatever. Equalize. That is maskan. Number two, mat'am. Feeding. Feeding. Pepper soup. For example, whatever you give, this one, give it. Don't say that if you marry a woman from, you know, low earning family, you treat her as a low earning. What are you trying to tell me? Your wife should be categorized in the light of your sex. You know, says that? Socioeconomic status. Your wife should be identified based on your own personality. So you give them equal feeding. Otherwise, you are unjust. If you can maintain equal shelter for them, maintain only one. You can maintain equal feeding, maintain only one. That is maskan, number two, mat'am, number three, malbas. Or ma. So we call them quadruple meaning. Malbas, clothing. Some men don't give their wife clothing until once in a year, very inshallah. Well, maybe it has to do with affordability. But if it is affordable, why don't you give them as frequent as possible, as reasonably recognized? Now, don't give this one the best of clothes in the market, whereas the other one, you give her what that best you can really lay your hand on. Equalize them to avoid any rancor. That is maskan. That is what? Malbas. Number four, mabit. Maskan, mat'am, malbas, mabit. What is mabit? Mabit means passing nice with them. You have two wives, when the second one comes, okay, call a meeting. Okay, now you are two, I'll be spending three days with you. You know, mathematically speaking, when you marry a woman that is a virgin, a new girl, you spend how many days with her? Seven. If it is saved, three. So after all this is finished, then you go back to the board. You just organize. You'll be spending three nights. That night you maintain them equally. The first wife, you spend two nights having her outstanding one night, and then you travel. On calendar, where do you go? To her, to pay the outstanding, or you go to the new wife? Now? The scholars are saying no. It depends on the arrangement you made initially. If your arrangement, okay, I will spend in 3 nights, but in case I travel, when I come back, I have the right, it's my prerogative, to go to any place I wish. If you give that, no problem. I don't care about from your level. If they are free, okay. But preferably, go back to her. It's much better. Preferably, go back to the one with outstanding day, spend it, and then go back to the second one. So, it is in these three, I mean, four key points that Al-Adl is talked about, justice. If you fail, then you fail in maintaining justice. Subsequently and consequently, you are advised to maintain only one wife. Is that clear? But what about just a gift that you give from time to time? You just travel and you remember the senior wife, oh, is more obedient, you feel like buying something special for her without buying the other wife. Some people are saying there is not something back there. It's not part of this for me. But still we say, for having a rancor-free maximum bundle bag. It's better than buy this for this, buy. You want to take a second wife, the senior wife, what do you do? Some are saying whatever you provide for the will be second wife, let it also be given to the first wife because she has been there. At least give her some consolation gift to console her for the coming of the new wife. So take heart, your sister is coming, your younger sister. Try to be as diplomatic as possible. Don't say, I will teach you a good lesson. You will see me what to do. Be very, very kind, be very, very polite and diplomatic. Don't forget she is your sister indeed. She is the keeper of your home. You cannot afford to humiliate her. Fear Allah, mother of the children, above all. So let's try to accommodate one another. Okay? وَلَهُنَّ مِثْلِ الَّذِي عَلَيْهِنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَالَّذِي جَالِ عَلَيْهِنَّ دَرَجَةً فَاللَّهُ عَزِيزٌ حَكِيمٌ. Yes.
Well, the sharing of the night, is it consequential in cohabiting with them?
Well, sharing of night is really, it's really consequential in cohabiting with them, really. Because someone can just spend a night without having anything to do with his wife, sexually I mean. You see, the main purpose of sharing the night is to keep her company, give her protection, let her feel the warmth of your body, because you are now legal. I mean, Allah allows for each of you have whatever the Sharia says should be done. So the main purpose is go and keep her company. It's not necessary that one has to meet his wife. Even though the scholars are saying sexual intercourse should take place at least after each and every 4 days. What is the reason? Quranic ayah. They are saying since Allah says, فَانْكِحُوا مَا طَابَ لَكُمْ مِنَ النِّسَاءِ مَثْنَى وَثُلَاثَ وَرُبَاعَ. Okay, somebody had him the maximum number of 4. It's expected to go back to the first one after 4. That's their calculation. You know, one woman came to Umar ibn Khattab complaining against her husband. But she was so shy to even come out and say it. But she said what? أَلْهَا خَلِيلِ أَنْتِ رَاشِي مَجْدِي فَلَيْلُهُ نَهَارُهُ مَا يَرْقُدُو مَا فِي أَمْرِ النِّسَاءِ أَحْمَدُ. Oh, you Amir al-Mu'mineen, the mosque has taken the attention of my husband away. This night, praying always. During the day of Zabun Pass, I don't pray him concerning zini. But concerning prayers, I pray him. What was he saying? She was passing a message. Umar ibn al-Khattab didn't understand. He said, oh, may Allah bless him. He had a good husband. She went back grumbling. I was trying to tell him, but he didn't understand me. The next day she came back again. She repeated the same. أَلْهَا خَلِينِ أَنْتِ رَاشِي مَجْدِي فَلَيْلِهُ. He said, may Allah bless him. You should thank Allah for his good husband. Until one of them said, يا أمير المؤمنين إنها تشكو إليك زوجها. I said, is that? Yes. So, okay. Since you understand it, I appoint you to be the judge. And the husband was caught. Why don't you meet her? He gave his reason. ذَحَدَنِي أَنْفُرْشِهَا مَا قَدْ نَزَلْ. Wallahi, I was terrified by some Quranic verses when I read them about the ferocious coming in the hellfire that took even the interest from my heart. He said, no, don't do that. Then he said, go and meet, that's my point, go and meet her at least after each and every 4 days. That's the point I was trying to reach at. Okay, so the question is, passing night, does it presuppose, or does it presuppose, or would it imply necessarily cohabitation? Not necessarily, but it's very important. That should be understood. Very important. After all, you meet her for the sake of positive procreation. You're a children, isn't it? So you meet there for this very purpose, and you maintain the semantic ethics when it comes to cohabitation. Okay? If somebody meets his wife and they are going to repeat it, they should perform ablution according to the sunnah, or they are exhausted, they want to sleep, it's preferable they don't sleep like that in janabah, in the sense of spiritual pollution or impurity, until ablution is performed, lest the angel of death comes and takes away their life in that very situation. So this is in addition to what you've asked, and I hope it is understood.
May that make my question more clear.
Alhamdulillah.
What I was trying to ask is, if you are in this room, does it mean you have no right to cohabit with the other wife that is not her count?
You didn't make yourself clear in that case. Yes. You see, if you are supposed to be in the room, you should pass your night in the room of senior wife, as they say, senior wife. Of first wife, okay. And then you feel like going to the second wife. Is it allowed? That's the question. Because some people are saying, if you are supposed to be in the house of the first wife, and you just went beyond the boundary, and you go to the house of the second wife, whatever you do with her, if it is sexually, it becomes zina. That is wrong. That is a bad answer. It is not a scholarly answer. Who tells you zina can come to the house of marriage? It's not possible. God forbid. A'udhu billah. Zina can never come to the house of marriage. Okay? The Bible says, الولد للفراش وللآهر الحجر. So the question of saying zina is committed is completely wrong. That is a misguided fatwa. Be careful. Because for somebody to have intercourse with a woman, what makes it legal? Marriage. So the marriage is there. So the issue of zina does not come in. All you can say, he has behaved maybe irresponsibly. That's all you can say. But if he goes and makes the other wife not happy, he has carried out legitimate relationship. Okay. But he should only be wrong. Don't create confusion in the house. But if there is an agreement, you can tell them, even if I am in your house, please, I want to sit there on permission. I can go to the house of any one of you and do as I wish. They say, okay, we allow this. In that case, you have to sit for the comfort of your wife. Respect them, honor them, listen to them. That is better. Wallahu a'lam.
Please, brother, he said he came from Zaria. And he is speaking in the indulgence of Mala and all of us. The mother answered this question to him. Please, I in turn want to seek for his indulgence. To please ask the recorders outside for the tape of what Malan spoke about banking interest. It was a trade of about 30 minutes that Malan gave. He should please inquire from them. Whatever answer is going to be given to him, now having come a long way from Zaria, it might be inadequate. But there is, like I said, a talk that Malan gave, very lengthy, that will suffice for him to go back to the area. So please, it might not be raised because of what I said earlier. So please, we're sorry that we're not going to read. Assalamu alaikum, madam.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
The Prophet said we should not propose to a lady who have already been proposed to by another brother. Please, when does this apply? Is it when the other brother have spoken to her wali, or even when he is just talking to her one-on-one?
No, if you have read the hadith to its end, you will have come across the two key words. But if you understand it, if the text says you cannot talk to her. وَلَا يَخْطُبُ أَحَدُكُمْ عَلَى خِطْبَةِ أَخِيهِ وَذَلِكَ إِذَا رَكَنَا وَتَقَارَبَ. So الركون and التقارب are the two key words that should stop you from talking to a woman being proposed to by a person. Meaning, none of you should initiate the process of looking for another woman after somebody has proposed to her. If there is a rukun. Rukun means they have tilted to one another. They have picked interest one of them. I love you, yeah, I too love you. There is this mutual consent. There is an affirmation on both sides. He is drawn to her. She is drawn to him. Let me put it this way. There is a rukun, a taqarub. So if these two things are there, and the family comes to know of what is taking place, it becomes forbidden for somebody to come to initiate the process of looking for him, because it becomes an intruder. That is the point at which you cannot talk about marrying. That is why when you want to propose to a woman or a girl, be gracious enough to find out, make inquiries. Is there somebody that comes before me? If the answer is yes, maybe. But in the event of the whole process being put asunder, is no longer effectual, you can come back and continue. So to answer you still, the point at which you cannot start looking for her in marriage is when there is agreement between her and her that we are between her and her that we are going to be married very soon. Allahu
alam. Assalamu
alaikum. Wa alaikum
salam. Is it he prayed that may Allah Ta'ala increase my wisdom and knowledge. Please, is it allowed Islamically for parents to use nuptial gifts for the Salaki to purchase some materials for their daughter? That was
Allah says, وَآتِ النِّسَاءَ صَدُقَاتِهِنَّ مِثْلَ as he has said. Give the women their يعني صداق, angry, nuptial gift. Alright, but if the parents say, okay, since the صداق has been given, we and her parents are taking it to make some necessary purchases for her room. It's okay, then her parents, especially with her conscience. But the parents should know she is the one entitled to the ownership of what is given to her. Because it has been given by the husband for her to be legalized based on this, by him. Alright? But if the parents decide to act in this manner, it's okay. They are her parents. Allahu Akbar.
Assalamu alaikum. This person is asking that, Malam, there is an open money in my possession. And for the fact that now we don't have Islamic banks, can I go and put it in a fixed deposit in the conventional bank?
If it becomes a barura for you not to continue keeping the money for security purposes or safety's sake, yes, you can take it to the conventional banks, but the condition don't ask for any interest to be charged on the money. That is the answer to that.
Assalamu
alaikum.
Madam, the money in my street is being led by somebody who checks the fund.
Which what?
Fund. And working.
Okay.
So somebody will take stand, somebody was a minister there, maybe. And there is no other mosque. The other one is far away from us. Can I pray there, and what is the position of those who pray?
But first and foremost, you have to determine how true that the imam is a diviner, or a fortune teller, or a sander. You have to establish the veracity or otherwise of the claim. Because you cannot go character assassinating people unjustifiably. But if it is confirmed that he is a diviner, fortune teller, concoctor, liar, whatever, then in Sahih Muslim, there is the hadith of Muawiyah ibn al-Hakam, al-Sulami. من أتى كاهنا أو عرافا وصدقه فيما يقول فقد كفر بما أنزل على محمد. He who goes to the diviner, a fortune teller, a parapsychologist, or whatever, and believes in what he says, that man ceases to be a Muslim, henceforth. So in the light of this, how can you pray behind a diviner? He's a kafir. Yes. Even under the technicality of saying there is no any mosque there, why can't the community come together and show him the red card? Unless there is a greater fitna, calamity, then you leave it and you go to a place where your prayer will not be jeopardized. But somebody, a diviner, claiming to know the unknown, subhanallah, the exclusive preserver, the almighty, la, hada kufr, la yambaghi. Okay? But it would be better to go and preach to him. Bring attention to the dangerous nature of what he's doing. Perchance he comes to reason and understand. And that could be much better. Allahu
alam. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
Madam, I want you to call on our brothers and sisters for the fact that the number of people attending mosque compared to when Ramadan started is diminishing.
That's all?
Yes.
Wallahi, it's true. And this morning I was giving a talk in the area I am accommodated in the mosque. I said, look at, alhamdulillah, small children all over the place in the mosque. So beautiful. So attracting and attractive. But unfortunately, when Ramadan goes away, the situation becomes quite different. It's lamentable. It means we have not or we did not benefit from the Ramadanic sessions. I keep on saying it is as if we have been admitted into the Ramadanic university. When somebody gains admission into a university, by the time he graduates, okay, the impact of the training he got while in school follows him throughout his life. Isn't it? He read agronomy, become agronomist throughout. He read political science, become political scientist. Physics, he becomes physicist. Okay? And like that. That means the training I received throughout his life. Now we have been into the Ramadanic university, the university. We are expected to have the reflections of this vision throughout our life. By the time Ramadan goes away, we go back to status quo ante, it means, A'udhu Billah, it's a clear sign we are yet to benefit from what we had previously. Allah says in Quran 2:1-3, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ السِّيَامُ كَمَا كُتِبَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ Fasting has been made obligatory upon you just as it had been made obligatory upon those that came before you. لَعَلَّكُمْ perchance, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ so that you may earn God piety, you may earn God consciousness. So the exclusive rationale behind the prescription is to give us the power to fear Allah. Now Ramadan goes away, that sign of fear seems to be diminishing, to use your word. It is lamentable. So we should go on, you know, sensitizing people, enlightening them. Please keep the ball rolling. Don't say Ramadan is gone, we go back. And the parents most especially, owe it a duty to make sure they carry the younger ones to the mosque in the morning, just as they are doing now. So please, it's a passionate appeal and call. Don't go back. Let me not go back. Qiyam al-Layl should be maintained. Fastings of prerogative nature should also be maintained. Constant recitation of the Quran should also be maintained. Good behavior for feedings should also be maintained. Don't say Ramadan is gone, we too are gone. Don't do that. The pious predecessors after Ramadan is gone used to pray for 6 consecutive months asking Allah to take their fast, to accept it. And they used to pray for 6 consecutive months, oh Allah, take our lives to witness another Ramadan. Why the change now? Why the backsliding nature of these good things, good things from our pious predecessors? Oh Allah, come to our assistance. Khala? Sallu ala Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. اللهم إنا نسألك إيمانا صادقا ولسانا ذاكرا وقلبا خاشعا وبطنا صابرا وتوبة نصوحا قبل الموت ومغفرة بعد الموت ونصيبا وافرا من الجنة برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين.